Hello, friends. Would you pray with me as we open up the Word of God together? Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, would you connect us now? Allow us to be aware of your presence. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Hear these words. It reads, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." From the very beginning, God has been seen in creation, in what was made, right? Psalm 19 shares it this way. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. There is no sound that comes from them, and yet their voice is heard in all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." Creation speaks. Creation speaks to the Creator. This hymn of hope, this inspiring hymn that captures our attention today, speaks of the God of creation and the God of redemption. This hymn speaks of this very God who is seen in all things that are made. This hymn was written in the past century and became familiar to congregations right around the time of World War II. It became an international favorite, though, when Billy Graham's evangelistic team used it during their evangelistic meetings in the late 1940s and early 1950s. It became dear to our hearts and so familiar, these beloved words. The original lyrics were written by Swedish pastor Carl Boberg in 1886. Boberg described the experience that he was out visiting a beautiful country residence, and suddenly he was caught in a thunderstorm. He watched as there was this awesome thunder and this lightning and crashing in the sky. And then in a moment, the sky cleared. There was brilliant blue, majestic clouds rolling back, and the birds' melodious song filling the air. And he fell on his knees. He describes this experience saying, "I was in awe of our Almighty God." And he wrote 9 stanzas of the song that would later become this very one that we're looking at today. These 9 stanzas of praise from this experience in creation and with awe and wonder at this God who made it all. Swedish congregations began to sing this song to an old folk tune, so these lyrics became known to them. They were then translated into German and then into Russian, and then there was a literal translation into English. But when they heard these versions, Reverend S.K. Hine and his wife, who were missionaries to Ukraine, took these versions in Russian and in German and in English, and they created a paraphrase that captured the heart of this hymn into the English language. "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art." These words captured that experience that suddenly he found himself in the presence of this God who was so great, so awesome, as he looked at creation. "When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, and when I think that God his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. In 1938, war broke out and the Hinds needed to return home to Britain. It was there at that very end point when he was talking with someone and had this encounter with someone that he ended up adding the fourth stanza, the fourth verse that we sing together today. And I quote, "One man to whom that they were ministering told them this story. He'd been separated from his wife at the end of the war, and he hadn't seen her since. Now, at the time that they were separated, his wife was a Christian, and he was not. His deep desire to find his wife so that they could at last share their faith together led him to understand and to believe. He was converted. He had this experience with God. But he told Hinds that he didn't think he would ever see his wife on earth again. Instead, he was longing for the day when he would meet his wife in heaven and they could share life eternal there together. These words suddenly captured Hinds's imagination, and the Reverend Hind, he wrote the fourth stanza, the fourth verse, "When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation to take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art." From that man's story of longing to see his wife and longing to see Jesus, he wrote, he realized that the hope in life eternal needed to be included in this song. For creation and redemption and this coming of Jesus are all connected in our hope. "Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art." These four stanzas by Elder Hine have since gone around the world and ministered to so many of God's people. These beautiful words from this experience of a Scottish preacher to being translated by a missionary to now being sung and giving us hope again today. In a recent article I read, it talks about dopamine and wonder. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that carries information from one nerve ending to another. It prepares our body for action. Brain regions that house the largest collection of dopamine receptors are often referred to as pleasure centers. But it's not just when we experience the rewards that we anticipate. It's actually when we're curious or when we wonder about what is coming. See, dopamine is the brain's response to learning something new. It helps us survive. It helps us grow. We experience these natural drugs. Each of us have experienced with different ones. Adrenaline. Some of you are addicted to adrenaline. Dopamine. Serotonin. These regulate our body and allow us to be driven forward towards these experiences of growth. And dopamine is associated with this feeling of curiosity, this wonder, this awe, this longing for more, learning something. You see, you only learn something when you face the unknown. Dopamine and wonder are always associated with risk, the edge, the unknown. So you mean we can have this positive rush of this hormone, this drug, this natural drug in our body while we're experiencing uncomfortable things? Because to risk is uncomfortable. To stand on the edge, to not know, that's uncomfortable. Well, you better believe that in a thunderstorm with lightning and with that sound all around, there's a sense of fear. There's a sense of the unknown. There's a sense of, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. And yet at the same time, there's a rush of a new experience, learning something new, standing in awe of what you don't fully understand. Stress and wonder are companions on the journey, but they're ones that we usually dismiss on the journey of faith. We need to recapture the need for wonder, this need for risk, standing on the edge of the unknown. How great thou art is when you see the size of the thunderstorm and you see the connection between the hugeness of God and the experience of the beauty around you, and you find yourself in the unknown territory of not understanding it all. You are in some way risking and seeing things in a new way when you stop to view this amazing God. When you stop to really look at things around you, you cannot have wonder without risk. You cannot experience the glory of God without experiencing the unknown. I'm afraid that some people go through life feeling without this feeling of a sense of wonder, feeling like they know all that they can expect, feeling like they have it all together, feeling this sense of without this feeling of this sense of wonder in the people around them or the situations they find themselves in or their understanding of God. You see, we need to have wonder with the new opportunities and experiences that present to us right now. We need this wonder. When I'm out in nature and I simply see, that's when I can experience wonder. There are no theological questions or the answers to all of the things you've ever wondered in life. You just simply sit, see, stand in awe. You notice. Wonder is an invitation to live in the present moment. How great you are, O God. To see the beauty around us, to pay attention to the God who made it all. You see, often what's missing is reverence. We train our minds with rigor to think through options, and those things are good. We need rigorous thinking. We need critical thinking. Yet we also must train our minds in reverence, in awe. To revere, to have reverence, is when we treat something with deep regard or respect. The Hebrew word for fear is what we find in Scripture. It's often translated reverence to fear or to be in awe or to be afraid or to revere. So when we're told to fear God, we are commanded to have a deep, abiding respect and awe for a God that shows up holy, so worthy of honor, this God whom we can never understand fully. To wonder and be curious is to recognize that we don't get all that is around us. We don't understand it all or control it all. Somehow in the midst of the feeling of familiarity and trust, we must also still be wowed, to risk, to experience awe, because there's so much that we don't know about our God and all that God has made. When you find yourself in the position of not knowing, when you find yourself in the place where you don't know what's coming next, when you feel like you're on the edge or when there's risk in your life, when you feel yourself unsure, these are actually sacred spaces. These are places of holy ground where God wants to meet us in wonder, where God wants us to grow. To have this response with wonder is to invite dopamine, which is to invite growth, which is to invite learning, to lean in to the risk and the opportunity. We really need to recapture this experience again, for we are not God. God invites us to curiosity, to awe, to wonder. Tracy Clark is a photographer, an author, and a teacher who seeks to teach people the beauty of everyday things. She takes pictures of the ordinary, the things that you find around you. She has a project called Picture Home, where she teaches people how to take pictures of things that they find in their everyday and to see the beauty in them. Now, when she entered into school and she was wanting to have this unique focus on the ordinary, she was told there's no room for that here. That's not important. But she persisted. Turns out many of us need to see the beauty in what's around us. It's strange, but something so familiar can at the same time be awe-inspiring, wonder-invoking. This experience of something so known to us and yet so amazing. Psalm 145 You can turn there in your Bible or in your Bible app. Psalm 145 invites us with these words. Every day, verse 2, I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. We're invited to praise in everything that we see. From Psalm 19's words to everything is declaring the glory of God, to this grounding in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where everything that was made testifies to the Creator. Would you stop? God invites us. Would you look around? Would you notice and pay attention? How great thou art is an invitation to notice and to observe what God is doing around us. Many times, familiar things are spectacular, but can be so easily overworked. Take time, God invites us, to think on the matchless greatness of our God in creation and in redemption. God's wonderful saving love causes adoration to rise in our hearts, and we are invited, like Psalm 145 says, to praise the Lord forever and ever. So today, I invite you to stop and to pay attention, to let your heart rise in hope as you notice the things around you. When I'm in nature, I simply see. I'm invited to wonder, to pay attention. And it allows me to be able to look at the places where I feel risk, the places where I stand on the edge, the places I don't understand in my life. It invites me to see those differently. Now, perhaps the one benefit to COVID-19 is that in the midst of this coronavirus experience, many of us are getting outside more. We're taking hikes or we're going places as a family. Not big public places, but the chances to be able to see and experience creation. And we've had those experiences as a family too. We've had the chance to be able to see a mockingbird that fell from the nest trying to learn how to fly. And as we walked up to it, hearing the parents call out and hearing their protection over this little bird, and walking on and seeing them fly close, teaching this little one how to live and move in the world. It's awe-inspiring. Taking the moment to see this prolonged eye contact with a blue-throated lizard perched outside our house, looking at this little one. Hanging up our feeder and watching the hummingbirds come, the brilliant ruby throat blazing there as I watch him sitting, resting, and drinking nectar. Seeing flowers, their vibrancy and their color, and the amazing beauty that God made. This perfect dahlia, brilliant yellow, causes my heart to rise in wonder. Feeling the awe and respect of seeing a rattlesnake while we were hiking. He was sunning himself out there and watching his zebra-like black and white stripes on his rattle, and just thinking how intricate and detailed our Creator got with everything that was made. What is God inviting you to pay attention to? Homegrown roses with the sweetest smell, thanks Hilda. Fog, brilliant blue skies, cool creek water, smooth river rocks warmed by the sun. These experiences in nature allow us to stand back again in wonder, to stand on the edge, to marvel at this God of creation and this God of redemption. How great thou art. Truly the heavens declare the glory of God. Everything proclaims the work of God's hands. Today we are invited to look, to pay attention, to notice, to wonder, to stand in awe. How great thou art. Hear the words of this song, and I'm so grateful that you're going to hear this song in a new way. I'm looking forward to hearing this from Lisa.